Good morning and welcome back to our presidential weekend series on America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are moving on to president number 11, James K. Polk. And Leah, I have to say, this might be the most underrated and arguably the most efficient president in American history. If you judge a president simply by did they do what they said they were going to do, Polk is batting 1,000. He had a checklist, he finished it, and then he went home and died.
It is a tragic story, but also an incredible one. We have to start with how unlikely it was that he even became president. James K. Polk was the first dark horse candidate in history. Going into the 1844 Democratic Convention, nobody expected him to be the nominee. The party was deadlocked. They voted 8 times and couldn't pick between Martin Van Buren and Lewis Cass. The convention was a disaster. Finally, on the 9th ballot, they looked around and said, "What about Polk?" He was a compromise choice. He wasn't even supposed to be on the ticket.
And the Whig Party, the opposition, thought it was hilarious. They ran a campaign based entirely on mocking him. Their slogan was literally, "Who is James K. Polk?" They painted him as this nobody from Tennessee. They didn't realize that asking, "Who is James K. Polk?" was a dangerous question, because the answer turned out to be a machine. They called him Young Hickory because he was Andrew Jackson's protege, but personally, he was nothing like Jackson. Jackson was wild and emotional. Polk was cold, calculating, and a total workaholic.
He entered office with 4 specific goals. He actually wrote them down. This wasn't vague campaign rhetoric. It was a to-do list. 1. Fix the independent treasury system. 2. Lower tariffs to stimulate trade. 3. Get the Oregon Territory from the British. 4. Get California and the Southwest from Mexico. That was the list. And in 4 years, he did every single one of them. He didn't miss a single item.
Let's talk about the map, because that is his legacy. Before Polk, the United States stopped at the Rocky Mountains. Texas was its own independent country. California, Nevada, Utah, and Arizona belonged to Mexico, and Washington and Oregon were shared with the British. Polk changed all of that. First, he bluffed the British. He ran on the slogan, 5440 or fight, basically threatening war if Britain didn't give us the entire Pacific Northwest. It was a total bluff, but the British didn't want a war, so they settled for the 49th parallel. We got Washington, Oregon, and Idaho without firing a shot.
But the South was a different story. He wanted California desperately. He offered to buy it from Mexico, but they refused. So he essentially provoked a war. He sent General Zachary Taylor to the Rio Grande River, which was disputed territory. He knew that if he put American troops there, the Mexican army would fire on them. And that is exactly what happened. When the shooting started, Polk went to Congress and said, "American blood has been shed on American soil." It was a pretext, but it worked. The war machine started moving.
It wasn't without controversy, though. There was a young, lanky congressman from Illinois named Abraham Lincoln who stood up and challenged Polk. Lincoln introduced these spot resolutions, basically demanding that Polk point to the exact spot on the map where the blood was shed, implying that Polk had invaded Mexico, not the other way around. Lincoln was right, technically, but the war was popular. We won easily. In the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, the U.S. annexed half of Mexico's territory. He added 1.2 million square miles to the country. That is a massive amount of real estate.
But the cost was high. Not just in lives, but in national unity. The Mexican War is what really started the countdown to the Civil War. Suddenly, we had all this new land, and the North and South immediately started fighting over whether slavery would be allowed there. Polk thought expanding the country would unite us. Instead, it tore us apart. He opened Pandora's box.
We also have to talk about his health, because it explains his personality. When he was 17, he had terrible urinary stones. This is the frontier in 1812. There is no anesthesia. There is no sterile operating room. A doctor cut him open effectively while he was awake, using only brandy to dull the pain. He survived, but it left him sterile. He never had children. And it left him with this sense that he was living on borrowed time. He didn't have hobbies. He didn't have fun. He banned dancing and card playing in the White House. He just worked 18 hours a day. He micromanaged everything, down to checking the receipts for the mules purchased for the army.
And his wife, Sarah Childress Polk, was right there with him. She was basically his chief of staff. She was brilliant, educated, and deeply political. In an era where first ladies were supposed to just host tea parties, Sarah was editing his speeches and managing his schedule. They were a power couple in the truest sense. She acted as his gatekeeper because he refused to delegate. He didn't trust anyone else to do the job right.
And he kept his most famous promise, one term. He said during the campaign that he would only serve 4 years, and even though he was popular enough to run again, he stepped down. But the presidency had destroyed him. There are photos of him from 1845 and 1849. He looks 20 years older. He was gray, gaunt, and exhausted. He left the White House in March 1849. He went on a victory tour of the South, caught cholera in New Orleans, and died in June. He was retired for exactly 103 days. He worked himself to death for the map.
It's really sad when you think about it. He achieved everything he set out to do, but he never got to enjoy it. And barely a year after he died, the arguments over the land he conquered nearly destroyed the Union.
So when you look at a map of the United States today, and you see the Pacific Coast, that is James K. Polk.
The man who finished the checklist.
That is our profile for President number 11. Stay tuned for number 12. Please note AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.